Hello everyone, this is your host Renato Creative and you're listening to the My L Ink Tattoo Podcast. This is the official podcast of May L Ink Magazine. And today we're going to interview a model named Anna Joy at Tattoo Cali Gal. She's our current cover model for May L Ink Magazine issue number 1. You can grab that magazine right now if you go to our site mayelink.com. It's also on Amazon. So go ahead and get your copy today. Also, we're going to talk about her modeling career, the magazine, diversity, and more. Diversity is really still a problem. And recently, Tia from the duo Tia and Tamara recently talked about how back in the day when they had the hottest sitcom out, they was trying to get in a teen magazine. And they was denied because the editor or the staff member told them because they're black, they do not sell magazines, which is a lie. So that is why May L Ink magazine is popular. And then we have the kids magazine, May L Kids magazine, which is funny. Two twin teenagers who was inspired by Tia and Tamara actually did the May L Kids magazine cover. So that was very interesting to see that. So we're going to talk to her about diversity, why diversity is a problem, and even more. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to the May L Ink Tattoo Podcast. Hello, welcome to the May L Ink Podcast. How you doing?
Good, how are you today?
Pretty good. So, you're in South Carolina, correct?
Correct.
So, how is the weather and how is COVID-19?
Ooh, so the weather right now is actually finally calming down. We're back in the 80s, so I can hang with that. But COVID out here, it's like it doesn't exist, so everything's open. So it's kind of a free-for-all. I'm not partaking in the craziness, but you wouldn't even think a pandemic was happening right now.
Oh, wow. So it's not too many cases where I'm at. I'm in this little small town called Winston.
Okay.
Many cases, but in North Carolina, it's a lot of, like, people who do have COVID-19.
So yes.
That's interesting. Because people here, they can't stay home. So.
Nope. That's the thing out here. People everywhere. And they just act like nothing's going on.
Definitely. So, where are you from? I know you said, I know your name, your title is, well, your username is Tattoo Cali Gal. So, are you from what part of California?
Yep. So, I am from California. I was born in Pasadena, so in Los Angeles area, but I was born or like raised mainly in Fresno, California. So, the dead center. The place that not many people know about.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I know a lot of people. I used to talk to feature a lot of models from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about how it's a struggle growing up in that area.
So yeah.
Did you face any of those struggles that, like, most people talk about?
Oh, definitely. So, Fresno and the Fresno area struggles with a lot of hardships, anything from, you know, poverty. I think Fresno, for at least recent times, is like number one for alcoholism, heroin, meth, and things. So, like, there's a lot of struggle going on out there. And so for a lot of people who look like me and identify like I do, there's a lot of, you know, barriers stacked up against us. And I definitely experienced those, especially really little. I grew up in the Mexican barrio, so it was like, you know, the Mexican ghetto, which was a whole different type of poverty. And so to really be able to see that at such a young age, it's kind of a humbling experience to even, you know, make it to 25, but really be able to be in the position I'm in right now.
Definitely. So yeah, I know a lot of people, when they think of Fresno, they think of sunny beaches and
yeah.
Everything being nice and everything. But then when I talk to, like I said, I've been doing magazines for 10 years, and I talk to people
and they were talking about the struggles in that area. Like, what's some other stuff people may not know about that area?
Fresno County is one of the top agriculture producers, and so what it really is just fields of corn and vineyards and grapes, you know, and things. So like, people think of the big LA, San Francisco cities, but I was like, we look like rural South Dakota, rural South Carolina. Like, you wouldn't think you're in California when you're in that area.
Yeah, and Wilson, where I'm at, it's about the same. It's a farming and retirement town.
Yes.
But, you know, when I go to big cities, I like being in the big cities, but I love coming back here. I do not want to stay in the city too long, you know what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
People in, like, little towns, they actually talk to you. They'll say hi or whatever.
Yeah, that was different when I moved out here. I was like, who, me? Like, I don't know you. So that was an adjustment for me, because in California, you got to watch out for the people who are really friendly, because they might be trying to kind of take advantage of you real quick, you know, catch you off your square. So out here, it's like, oh no, they're genuinely like being nice, and like they actually are saying hello, and they actually do want to know how your day is, even if they don't know you. So that was definitely a huge adjustment.
Definitely. So when did you move to South Carolina?
I moved May of 2019, so about a year and a half ago.
Okay, that was not too long ago. Okay. So what do you like about South Carolina life? And
so,
what do you miss about California?
Yes. So what I like about South Carolina is, you know, Fresno City, which is where I'm from, the actual city of Fresno. Out here, it's small town, you know, for me. And I like that part. I like that, you know, it's a smaller community, but that Atlanta's only 2.5 hours away. Charleston, Charlotte, so it's accessible, but I'm not in the city and I'm not stuck in the city. So that's something I really like. I like the weather here, just because I moved from South Dakota and it was snow, blizzards and things. And so I like that there's no snow here either.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like you said, the culture, it's friendly. It was an adjustment for me, but, you know, there's people who actually are really friendly. If something happened, I feel like there would actually be good people that would, you know, kind of stick around and try to help you out, figure out that situation. But the one thing I miss about California the most is the really diverse food that I can get. Like, I miss that deeply. Like, I can go to any corner and get, like, true, authentic Mexican food. And I can't get that, at least in this part of South Carolina.
Yeah, I think if you go to another part of South Carolina, you'll probably get that. But the thing about the South is usually each, which you already learned this, each, you know, every time you go to a different state, each of them have their, in different parts of the state, they have their own style of food.
Yes.
South Carolina has its own, like, I'm going to give you an example, barbecue. South Carolina, they do their barbecue a certain way, but if you come out here to North Carolina, our barbecue is a lot different. I don't eat barbecue, but, you know, I like the North Carolina barbecue. I probably wouldn't like the South Carolina barbecue.
Right, yes. I did learn that. They made it very clear that there's, like, the mustard base, the tomato base, and the vinegar base, and it's not the same, and they have their preferences on which is best.
Mm-hmm. And, like, even if you go to Oklahoma, mm-hmm. I heard that they put, like, sugar in their rice, or, you know, place have, like, a different thing. And like you said, it's more diverse in Los Angeles, so you have, because you have different communities,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we have, there's a lot of Mexicans here, but you don't see that, see their food as prevalent, though, in the culture. But, yeah. Which is interesting, you know, we should see more of their food, too.
Oh, I would deeply appreciate that. So I'm on the hunt. I found some good in Georgia, in Dalton, Georgia, but that's a little too far. I need it in at least Augusta. Let's get to Augusta.
So you guys don't have like an authentic Mexican restaurant?
I think we have like a couple that aren't well known, which is good. We should keep it that way. You know, so that they stay nice little trinkets so they don't get overpopulated, but at least in California, like, if I'm on the west side, I don't have to travel all the way, you know, to the east side to make to get to the one good authentic restaurant, there's gonna be one in each area. And here it's like you got to travel 20-25 minutes to get to the good one.
Okay, so another thing that most people think about when they think about California is the game. So even in a little place like, well, a rural area like Fresno, did it have like games, or was it like something that was non-existent?
Oh yeah, and that's definitely one of the I would say the biggest challenges and kind of hot topics is right now, especially with elections and everything, even like, you know, local elections, is the gang population. You know, we have Fresno State, which is a more well-known college, the Bulldogs, but there is a gang spun off of that, which is the Bulldogs. And then, you know, the typical ones that came out from LA, the Bloods and Crips. And so it's a huge culture out there that isn't shy to let you know that it's there either.
Okay. So yeah, and then I know you're mixed race, or what, are you mixed race or are you Mexican?
Yep, so on my mother's side is like true Hispanic from Mexico, Aguascalientes, and then my dad's side is African American, and then both sides are Apache Native American First Nations. So just a little bit of everything thrown in there.
Okay, that's cool. And so you have both cultures, both amazing rich cultures. So that's amazing. So my question to you is, what do you think? I think I asked you this in the magazine. What do you think about the global protest that's going on for justice, you know, in America? Because, you know, since slavery ended, it's been very injustice for Black people.
Right.
You know, at like the civil rights movement, but it's still a lot to, you know, improve, especially like the justice system.
Right. And, you know, that's something that I care to like deeply and care deeply about, just because I relate to it. And then, you know, I have little brothers specifically who, like, when certain things happen, like, I see them, I see people that are very close to me. And so, you know, I always say, yeah, slavery ended, but it just got changed into a different, more acceptable form. So like, you know, the prison system, and I'll use that one's the main one, is the prison system, and just filing from school to prison pipeline. It's just got spun off into a different thing that people can now deem acceptable. But I don't really see as any different. And, you know, when you have the blatantly obvious, like, injustice in your face, and there's just people all over just can't admit that the people in, you know, power and authority can do wrong, super disheartening. And, like, it to me, I said, nothing's going to change if we keep being peaceful or anything. Like, they can't expect all these things to happen and people just kind of be like, yeah, well, maybe next time it'll get better, without actually like actively participating and trying to be a part of a change. And if the change doesn't come peacefully, then we're not going to just say, oh, well, we tried.
Yeah, definitely. And you see, if you watch WorldStar, which is an interesting website, that when people provoke, like the young generation, they're not turning the cheek. They're fighting back now. So,
right, yes.
A lot of people learning from the you know, a lot of racist people is learning now. People ain't taking it. Even in the South, I remember back in the South, you know, they would just turn their cheek. But now, even in the South, the young folks, they're not their parents. They're fighting back.
Right. Yes. And I love to see it, especially now that you really have like the convenience of like your phone there. Even right now, even with your phone and it being recorded, you're still not getting the justice. But as the time goes on and gets more and more blatantly obvious, at least you have that to really stand on. And like, yeah, I wouldn't turn the cheek for anything. If someone's being disrespectful to you, just be cautious of like, some people get really bold because they have something that you might not know about. But you know, it gets to the point where you just can't take it. And, you know, sometimes the consequences outweigh what can really happen. So.
Definitely. So let's move on to, let's talk about your tattoo. So, oh yeah, talk about the magazine also. So, how did you feel when you first got when you first found out that you had the cover. You used the original cover, but I ended up going with someone else, and I should have originally went with you. And then so I ended up saying, hey, let me go with her because she got like the coolest tattoos. So like could you explain to me how you felt when you first found out? Because I kind of hit you up out of nowhere.
Yeah, so even when I got like the response of like, hey, yeah, we're gonna use this and like here's the interview and you're gonna get a spread, like even that I was like, wow, that's really cool, because you know, you can always have pictures and that's really cool, but like to have like words to go with it and kind of get to know the person behind the pictures, I was like super geeked about it and like very excited. And then when you hit me up about the actual cover, I was like, what? I was like, that would be amazing, just because, you know, I've been getting tattooed for 7 years and I've been super like involved in like looking at like the tattoo industry and knowing of who typically gets represented, and it's not someone who looks like me. And so to have a tattoo magazine in general and then this specific magazine geared towards representing a demographic that gets, I would say, just completely shut out of the tattoo industry, finally there, and to have a cover, to me it was just really humbling.
Yeah, definitely. And you actually was the first person that was actually put in the magazine, actually, because you submitted first, so you was the first person in the magazine. And so I designed this cool layout. Like, when you saw your name, what did you think? Because I wanted to do something different for your layout because of your tattoos. So, like, what did you think about even the layout in general, and then definitely the way I designed your name?
Yeah, I think from the whole design, like, first off, just seeing the name, I was like, yo, that's, like, my name. You know, I was like, what? And then that's, like, my face. And then, like, that whole design layout, like, it had this, like, cool but funky, you know, like, essence to it. And I was like, that's just, like, me. And so it was just really cool to see it all come together and like match like how I feel my energy is, and then have it seen on the page and just go with the pictures. I was like, that's an awesome representation, because you know, when someone does design something, it might not match your energy and you'd be like, well, that's cool, it's me. But like with this whole thing, I was like, no, this like embodies and like encompasses like me as a person and me as a tattooed individual. So it was just the whole thing coming together was just like pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I was trying to go with Cali style. So think about it, the way the text is kind of what they would use when they would represent California.
Yes.
So that's what I was going for when I did your design. And like I said, you was the first person that actually had a design for this magazine. And did you expect the magazine to come out as good as? Because when I talked to people, they said, you know, they was like, okay, a tattoo magazine, that's cool. You know, they might have like some idea of other tattoo magazines that they might have seen.
Right.
But like, what was your, like, was you shocked that the magazine came out as good as it did? Because most people, including me, even though I'm the designer, I was kind of shocked that it came out as good.
Right. And when you think about it, I mean, you know that you've launched magazines before, but every magazine on the first edition, you don't, you know, you can think, okay, well, there's some kinks to work out or everything, but it looked so well polished together, front to back, of like the content that was put into it. It wasn't, you could tell that wasn't just thrown together and just trying to get the first publication out of the magazine and just build up from there. It's like, no, the time and effort was put in from the beginning, and it was just became very evident. So I was pleasantly surprised, because like, yeah, it's gonna be the first edition, so yeah, it's really awesome to be part of it, but you know, it might be a little rough to start off with, but it wasn't that. And so I was like, what, like, this doesn't look like the first, like a first edition of the magazine. It looks like this magazine's been here and established for, you know, as long as it could be. So I was, when I got it in the mail, I opened it and it was like a nice, you know, the harder cover, and like flipping through it, I was like, no, this is a magazine, you know, that people would like have in their houses. And so it was great.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't think I was gonna hit 86 pages for the first edition.
Right.
We only had one advertiser, and I actually moved him from another magazine, and put him in this magazine. Mm-hmm. So basically, it was really 85 pages of straight content. So, you know, I thought we were going to hit at least 50 pages. So that was exciting to see also.
Right. No, you can... I didn't feel like there was any filler pages, you know, like, okay, let's just throw this in the fill up space. Like you said, it was all, like, true content of, like, some really cool people in the industry, from the models to the tattoo artists, makeup artists, everything. So, yeah, it's definitely not one that's just like, well, let's just put this person in here just so we have a couple extra pages.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I'm very... Well, since I've been doing magazines, I said, you know, for 10 years... I learned how to do it, and I've been kind of pretty selective. My first magazine is actually a fashion magazine. So, you know, with the fashion, you definitely have to be very selective. So I still use that same technique to, you know, till today. So I'm very selective on who I put in the magazine. Oh, yeah, and congratulations. The magazine actually made it to Amazon. We're trying to see if it's going to hit Barnes & Noble. Hopefully it'll hit Barnes & Noble. So anyone listening, you can go grab the magazine on Amazon.
Yes, I got mine. I got mine two, three days ago. And I was like, I had to wait for my partner to get back in town so I could do like an actual, you know, not selfie type video, but like a video with like me with it. So that's to come soon.
Definitely, definitely. So what are some projects that you are working on? And also, what is your day job? Because some of our listeners, I'm going to tell you the fact. Some of our listeners, they probably listen. They say, hey, I want a tattoo, but I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a nurse, or I want to, you know, whatever. So, like, what is your day job? Because you have a professional job.
I do. So, after 6 grueling years in South Dakota, I graduated May of last year with my engineering degree. And it is in metallurgical engineering. So I am a metallurgical engineer. I work at a nuclear waste reclamation site here in South Carolina, dealing with, you know, Cold War era nuclear waste that was disposed of incorrectly. And now it's my job to make sure that that's deposited and done correctly this time around. So it's definitely a different type of job. You know, engineering in itself is a different kind of beast. It's kind of like the tattoo industry and a lot of other industries, dominated by Caucasian and, for this specifically, white males. And so, you know, being a woman engineer, being a racial minority engineer, and then throwing tattoos and piercings on top of that, I'm definitely one of one walking around on that site. And so, but for anyone who wants to do a career and feels like they have to hide who they are for it, I say it might not be a career for you, or you might need to be one of the first to start changing the what people imagine that person being. And so, you know, my dad told me, hey, if you get tattoos, you will probably lose jobs because of it, because they're already looking to turn you down because you're a minority female, and then throw that on top, they have every reason to do so. But I was like, well, if that's why they do it, I don't need to be working for them anyway, so I'm not going to hide myself from these companies. Obviously, it wasn't the right match from the get-go, so just be prepared to hear no from some people. But if they tell you no just based off like that skin deep shallowness, they weren't the people for you.
I think things are changing also. Oh, even though the tattoo industry is still underground, very, very underground. Why I think it's changing is because some of these CEOs of these companies have tattoos.
Yeah.
So they're gonna like probably change some of the rules, or their board, some of the board members, because we got, remember, it's younger people now taking over the older people's spot. And a lot of these young people have tattoos, and the board of directors is gonna change too. And a lot of them have tattoos. You know, so, you know, who knows? Some CEO might be listening to the show right now. So I feel like that in time, it may take a few years, but I feel like that having tattoos is not going to be an issue.
Oh, and yeah.
Magazines like Mail Ink and Black Ink Crew and all of this stuff, all the other magazines, important.
Yes, no, I totally agree. And I think each new generation's tattoos are just kind of more and more common, whether someone just gets one or has, you know, full body. It's less of a shock factor and more of just like, man, you know, that's pretty cool. It might not be for me to have that many or that little, but it's not a shock to see somebody with them. And so, you know, slowly but surely, the more people will have them. And then as the older generation retires and phases out of these higher up positions, here comes Anna, you know, just, I'm going to take that spot. And, you know, I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to be open about it. It doesn't hinder my ability to be an engineer, make the right choices. And so they're going to start seeing us represented, whether they like it or not.
Definitely. And then, if I'm correct, for that field, you probably is the, well, then probably other people, but you are one of the first Black and Hispanic people to hold that position, if I'm correct.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So my freshman year of college, when I started, there was 20 of us for my specific degree, and 19 were white males. And then there was me as the only female and the only racial minority. And that's very common in my specific field of engineering. So definitely not something I'm unfamiliar with. And then engineering as a whole, it's pretty similar. So, oh yeah, definitely familiar with it.
Definitely. So, explain your tattoos to everyone listening to the podcast. Like, when did you, the story of each of your tattoos, if you have time.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, the first one when I turned 18, as a lot of us 18-year-olds, we finally want to flex our 18-year-old muscles and say, I can get a tattoo. And mine was a really basic infinity sign with an empowering word in it, you know. But I felt like the coolest person in the world. And then progressing from there, when I moved out to Iowa, I found a really, who I would say, a really great tattoo artist who's been doing it for about 20 years. His name's Johnny, and he got his own shop finally. But at that point, it was still of like, I like tattoos. I think they're really pretty. And I saw them as artwork. But not necessarily like a deep meaning behind them. And so, I was like, my favorite flower is a bird of paradise. I got that tattooed on me. I thought mandalas were really super cool. Got that tattooed on my rib cage from one rib cage to the other rib cage going across my sternum. And so I started kind of placing just really pretty tattoos. I got an old style perfume bottle. And so, you know, I thought they were beautiful, but didn't necessarily have any deep meaning to me. And I still love those tattoos. I'm not one that says every tattoo has to have a deep spiritual meaning. But then when I started to think about like my large tattoos that like would really be represented to people when they saw me, which are my two arm sleeves, that is when I started putting a lot more thought into it, just because it would be a talking factor because they would see it. And so on my right arm was for my Native American culture. And so the wolf is the spirit animal, goes back, you know, through my culture. And then on my left side is like my African themed arm. You know, my ancestors come from Cameroon. Like that is actually traced. My grandparents can like, you know, identify with it and everything. So I just wanted to get that represented on me. And so when people were asking those type of questions, I actually had more of a story behind it, so they weren't just thinking, you know, they're like stamps just kind of placed everywhere.
Not to cut you off, but you just hit a major point. Now, you made a post. Well, I'll let you tell the post, tell people about the post, but you made a post about how there's a lack of diversity in the tattoo magazines and even the Instagram repost pages. And the funny thing about it is tattoos come from Hispanic and Black people culture, Africa. So, and they're not represented, even though it comes from our culture. So, like, tell us, you know, what was your post about, about these, you could explain better, but the these magazines and these other repost page do not represent Black and Hispanic people or Asians either.
Right. And so they don't. And I forget what page I specifically, chose, but it came across my timeline. I went to it and I screen recorded every single post that they had, and it was 100% Caucasian. 100%, not a single, I'm not even talking about just African American, not a single Asian, not a single Hispanic or Latino, not a single African American. It was 100% white. But if you look at some of the tattoos, they were obviously influenced by somewhat the Samoan culture, the Hawaiian culture, the Japanese culture, African culture, and all these other cultures. So they have our tattoos, they have our culture, they have our tattoo style, but they don't have us. And to me, I feel like that's just not okay. Part of me feels that when it's done certain ways, that's very disrespectful. And then to just be so blatantly obvious about who's on the tattoo pages, it's just super discouraging. That's just like, you know, we're here to, we actually have those tattoos representing us as a person and not just because they're pretty. Yeah, it's beautiful to have an African queen on you, but do you have an African queen mother? Do you have an African queen, you know, ancestor? Or is it just because it looks super dope, you needed some filler space, and you think it's really cool to have that on you? You know, and to each their own. I can't determine what you put on you, but when you're representing these pages, you gotta be, at this point, it just seems really, you know, conscious on their part, like they're doing it on purpose, just because whether they think white skin shows tattoos better, which I disagree, you just don't have the right tattoo artist getting color on a melanated palette. But it's just for me, it's offensive. So because there's definitely a lot of us out there who have super amazing tattoos, but on some, you know, deeper palettes.
Yeah, definitely. And I be seeing people, a lot of like Caucasian people with unks.
Yes.
And oh, let me tell you about this recent post that someone posted. So a Caucasian guy went to his friend and he said, I got a Malcolm X tattoo, right? So the funny part about, I guess you've seen it because you're laughing. And to find out it was Denzel Washington and Malcolm X.
Yes, I did see that. It was, I think it's the movie Malcolm X, but Denzel was playing him.
Yeah.
And we were just like, God, like, and I don't know if the tattoo artist knew that and was just like laughing, or they were laughing. But I saw that and I was just like, oh man, like, that's when you know they really don't know about the culture.
Yeah, and then like seeing them with the aunts kind of looks funny too.
Yes, I agree. You know, certain, you know, and when I see the Samoan and then like the Hawaiian style tattoos done, and there's a like, I would never get that tattoo. I think they're beautiful. I think the style is beautiful, but I would never get that tattoo because I have no connection to that culture, and that culture does them for like religious and actual cultural reasons. So like, I see people with them and I'm like, I know you have no connection to that, and I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, it's like if the Rock or Roman Reigns get it, you know, that's their culture. So
right.
That makes sense. And then even if the Rock was to get the off or whatever, you know, that's his other side culture. So it kind of looks good. It would look good on the Rock, but then like some of these people, it'd be hilarious.
You're just like, can you even tell me what that means?
Yeah.
So, I definitely.
Like some of these people get Japanese words and don't even know what the words mean.
Right, and it might not even be the word they think they're getting.
Yeah, so that's something you gotta be careful with also.
Definitely agree. And I always just look, and you know, I'm not one to ask someone about their tattoos just because, you know, I love my tattoos on me, but it's never been a conversation starter. Unless it's like a super out of this world tattoo and I'm just like, that needs to be recognized. Usually I just look and admire from afar and don't say anything. But when I see those, I'm just like, definitely won't ask about that one.
And definitely. And then since we're speaking of Hawaiian, I'm actually going to feature, I'm trying to get a Hawaiian lady in this magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if she's able to do her photo shoot. She's straight from Hawaii. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Love it. Love to hear it. That culture especially is not represented and people don't really know about it. So I would love to see it.
Yeah. And if The Rock, if you're listening to this show, you need to do our cover. I'm just being real.
Just throw it out there.
I want to throw it out there in case, you know, if he's not listening to it, maybe, you know, some of his people listening.
Right.
So, somebody from the WWE, who hopefully, you know. All right, so besides modeling, what is your other talent? You look like you can sing or something.
What I really love to do is aerial performing. And so what people would really know that as is like Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
And so, you know, I do the silks. So like what people call the ribbons hanging from the sky. And then the hoop that hangs from the ceiling as well. Those are my two main ones. But I just recently got into pole for pole sport. It's just a way to stay fit. But I'm one that hates to just get on a treadmill and run. Or, you know, some people get a lot of love from lifting weights and things, and while I do that, I don't find it as like a release for me. Where that comes from is doing like the aerial performance. So it's a workout, but it's a show of art as well. It's very methodical. You think about your feet, how they're pointed, how your arms are pointed, how you look from head to toe. And I use it to actually help with the modeling, just because I have to be so aware of my whole body, just as I have to be on like a photo shoot. So everything I do has a purpose and ties back to like something I do for, whether it be my career engineering wise or like, you know, my passion of modeling. So everything's done with a purpose, and definitely the aerial silks and aerial performing is that.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So for anyone that would like to get into that, area performing, like where can they learn about it? How did you get into it?
So when I lived in South Dakota, surprisingly, there was an actual studio doing it, and I looked at it and I was like, that's super cool, but I can never, like, my body can never do that. And so after a year and a half of kind of just watching it, after I had my daughter, I was just like kind of in a funk and feeling like what can I do to get me out of this and like feel like a powerful person again. And so I finally was like, you know what, I'm gonna try this out. And so 2.5 years ago, I decided to get on the silks and see what it was about, and being super unfit because I hadn't done anything in a while, I got on it, and you know, I learned that anybody of any body size can do it. And it's like a super empowering thing. Just because a lot of us go into it thinking we can't, or we'll only be able to do like the really easy stuff, and all of a sudden we're doing drops and tricks and things. And so for anyone that's interested in it, just find a studio near you. There's actually a lot more than you would think, especially in South Carolina. There's one in Columbia and out in Charleston, and then in Augusta, which is near me, Augusta, Georgia. And just try it, and don't limit yourself like I did for a year and a half, because I could have had another year and a half under my belt and be doing a lot more stuff with it. So anybody can do it. I encourage everybody to at least try it out and just see that your body can do amazing things, even if you don't think it can.
All right. And you know, you got the cover, so that means you have to do a real good job, and you have amazing work anyway. But tell everybody about your experience working with Brandon. And I cannot believe that he only have been shooting for 3 years. His work is amazing for to only been shooting for 3 years.
Right. I agree. And that he has been a blessing. And so working with Brandon, he posted something on his Instagram story about like some things he has on his mind project wise and so I just messaged him and said, hey, like, if there's a project you have and like you see me as fulfilling that, like, just let me know and I would love to shoot with you. And so I encourage models to kind of approach photographers that way, especially if the photographer kind of mentions it. Say, hey, if you see me fitting any of your visions, hit me up and I would love to create that for you. And so he posted that. I messaged him and he's like, you know what? Yeah, let's shoot. And today I actually posted the results from our very first photo shoot, which was a swimmer that we did. And then from there we've done, you know, he's hit me up and said, hey, you know, I got some shooting energy. Can you meet me in Colombia today or tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, what do you want the look to be? And we link up and we shoot, you know, just to get some practice and feed off each other. And so to have a creative mind like that, that's just wanting to better himself, and then myself wanting to better, you know, what I'm able to do, and to be able to link up like that is amazing. And so then we have our projects. We have probably 3 projects right now that we're working on, actually getting the stuff for and getting everything put together from his side and my side, just because, you know, people don't really think about South Carolina when it comes to fashion. And so what we want to do is just say, hey, produce amazing content. Where'd it come from? South Carolina. What? And we're like, yeah, because outside of us, there's some really dope people out here creating some really great content. And just because we're from South Carolina, like, don't count us out.
And then also in South Carolina, you can connect with a lot of Black creators. Mm-hmm. Y'all could actually start a little group for Black creatives there, because, you know, because of slavery, there's a lot of Black people that's creative in South Carolina.
Yes. And that's
so I need to go down to South Carolina and connect with you guys.
Yes. And that's the one, like, not one, but one of the main things I appreciate about Brandon is that he has his energy for his photography, but he also has his passion for it, which he wants to put into other people. And so he's not one of those photographers that, like, I know my knowledge and it's staying within me. He has his group of people and he's, like, pushing them to get out there and doing more shoots, helping them. He shows up to their photo shoots. He does the behind the scenes footage or the light guy, but he's there and he's actively, like, pushing these photographers to, like, get out there and, like, better themselves. And so it's not this weird competition like feel, but, like, hey, there's enough for us to eat together. Why are we trying to, like, get in each other's way? So that's one thing I, like, really appreciate about Brandon.
I like that, because here in North Carolina, all the photographers are just trying to compete. But mm-hmm. I have, like, 3 photographers I can think of that is just like that. They want everyone to do good. So, yeah. So what, let me give him a shout out. Make sure you follow him on Instagram. Peaceful_visions. So go check him out. Great photographer. If you're in South Carolina, book him.
Yeah.
He said he's trying to get all my covers. So
and he means it.
So you're gonna have to compete with me too, because I'm trying to get my covers too. So I gotta set my game up also. So yeah. So yeah, go shoot with him. You got a better chance of getting the cover. If you're in the South Carolina area, go ahead, hit him up. All right, so, like, are you into the reality TV? Do you ever watch TV? Have you ever seen Black Ink Crew?
Yeah, so I actually did watch the Black Ink Crew, especially the one that had Caesar and Duchess on it. I was really involved in that. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of reality TV, but since that one was tattoos and then, you know, majority of the crew was either African-American or a person of color, I was just, like, super interested in it. You know, I'm not one, you know, like, for the semantics, like, super drama-filled, but when it got down to the tattoos and everything, I really enjoyed it. And so, but, like, right now my life's kind of crazy, just busy and everything with coronavirus and being at home working and everything. So TV's limited, but I won't lie. Right now I'm rewatching America's Next Top Model for the 4th time, starting from season 1, just because my modeling's kind of picked up. And so I kind of want to see, you know, from 20 years ago, how the industry has changed, how the posing has changed and everything. So that's my guilty binge watching right now, is Tyra Banks for 22 seasons over again.
Well, I'm going to give you a priceless tip that a photographer gave me. He was watching a documentary, So I'm going to take you back. So if you want to really improve in your modeling, you want to go study Betty Page. I didn't understand why a lot of these models on Model Mayhem, you know, they always talked about Betty Page, and they always, you know, they was into the pinup stuff.
Yes.
But what I learned is 99% of the poses that your favorite celebrities do, they're copying Betty Page, and she would do her own poses. Even some of the fashion stuff that comes from Betty Page. So you might want to go check out Betty Page's old work. And I learned that from a photographer, and he learned from a documentary that's on Amazon. It's a documentary about Betty Page. So little tip.
And I take that tip and run with it.
Definitely. I think everybody that models that's listening to the show should take that tip and definitely look at the old photographers, Richard Avedon. Like when I was learning photography, I looked at his work and the models, the way they would pose. So Richard Avedon was a fashion photographer from back in the day. And he was amazing. And like that's someone else I recommend. Like even for a model, so look at his old work. And actually, I improved at shooting. He also did a series where he did like portraits, and I studied like his portrait work. So that's like regular people,
right?
That helped me improve with my portraits, the way he shot people with portraits, because he was fashion, but he could do portraits too,
right?
Like family portraits and stuff. That's how I got good at doing family portraits. Yeah, I recommend even models go check out his fashion work, because he has shot Naomi Campbell. He has shot, you know, everybody. Squiggy, he shot all of them.
Oh, wow.
Definitely. So, what was my next question? I'm not going to cut this off. I want to leave it in, keep the show raw. So, what do tattoos mean to you? And, like, why is tattoos important to you?
Yeah, so, you know, tattoos are a form of expression and artwork. You know, I think I kind of hit on this in the magazine, but, you know, art is not beautiful to everybody, but it doesn't change the fact that it's art. So there's going to be some art that I look at and completely just am turned off by, and other people are going to look at it and think it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And so I think the same with tattoos. Like, my tattoos are artwork, and some people appreciate it and some people don't. And, you know, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me. You know, despite what people might think of me, I'm a very introverted person. And so, you know, I kind of keep to myself, but the tattoos are my way of actively expressing myself, you know, as some extroverts just kind of enter the room and are like, hey, look at me. And like, I might not necessarily say that, but my tattoos will. And so for me, it's the verbal expression that I might not be able to portray, you know, just as I enter a room, but my tattoos can do that for me.
Okay. And here's a good question for you too. I'm going back to Black Ink Crew. Like I said, the show is raw. We want to keep it raw so that it's interesting to people. I want them to hear the mistakes and everything. I guess it's not a mistake, but... So my question is, are you familiar with Nessie Blaze from Black Ink Crew Company? Because she's our next cover model.
Yes, and I saw that. And so I went to her page just to see what was going on. And I was just like, you know, because I saw a woman of color. And I was just like, yes, like, I love it. I have not been able to get tattooed by a woman of color. And it's like something I'm actively searching for.
Yeah, you definitely need to hit her.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's going back to Philly too. So
oh, wow. Not sure. So that's definitely something that I am looking for. So when I saw her work, I was just like, yeah, like if she was in Compton or that area when I was back in California after this whole, you know, pandemic blows over, definitely something I'm actively seeking out. So a tattoo artist who is a woman of color or identifies as a woman of color.
Uh-huh. And then you got Dolls House of Ink, which is in Dallas, Texas. Yeah. Which is in that's another female of color. Actually, shoot, I think she got like three female tattoo artists working for her of color. So, and then congratulations to her. She just opened her shop today.
Oh,
so
this show place is nasty. I love it.
Yeah, we're recording this show on Saturday, so she opened her. She's opening it up today at 7 o'clock. So
yes,
shout out to her.
Big shout out.
But yeah, and then not Nessie, she's also an amazing rapper.
Oh wow.
And then she also can paint. And I remember her when she was a model. I have forgot her somewhat, but I remember her from Model Mayhem back in the day.
Oh wow. Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. Yeah. So wherever she's at, when I'm able to go, I'm gonna come to you, Nessie. We'll link up.
Definitely. So yeah, so I can't wait to see her, what she has coming up in her future, especially with her music.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not saying it, there's a lot of people doing music that probably shouldn't do music.
That would be me.
But she can do it, so she's awesome. So everyone go check her out. She's on Spotify, Tidal, iTunes. She's on everything.
Okay.
And then shout out to her team for hooking up her for the magazine. So.
Yes.
So, do you have... I don't want to keep you long because I know you're a busy one. But do you have any shout outs?
Oh, yeah, I can shout out so many people, but I'll keep it to the main ones that really got me going. Photographer wise, Michael Martin, he was the first one that I took a chance on, you know, messaging saying, hey, I want to become a model, you know, I love your work, and you know, if I get the chance, I'd love to drive 3 hours to get to work with you. And you know, the way I approached the situation, he was willing to shoot me, and he was like, you know what, you got this, you can actually take this and do something with it. And so for him, I shout him out just because besides his great work, and he's in Macon, Georgia, besides his great work, the investment and time that he puts in to new models is something that I don't see from a lot of people. And so that is something that I don't take for granted and will not overlook and just, you know, say, I did this all on my own. Like, I put the work in, I worked with people. Like, no, the people I have worked with were gracious enough to give me a chance. And so Michael Martin, I think on Instagram it's Mike's First Impressions, was a huge turning point. And then my South Carolina photographers, Brandon, and then Marcus, and they're all, you know, I did a photographer shout out on my Instagram page. So every single photographer that I worked with got a shout out, because without them, I wouldn't even be talking to you right now, because I wouldn't have any content, you know? So every single photographer that I worked with in Augusta and South Carolina have been professional, have been appropriate. You know, not every model gets to say that, especially since I've worked with quite a handful of photographers, and each one has just been amazing. And so I don't take them for granted whatsoever.
Awesome. Do you have any closing words?
You know, I would encourage you to think about your tattoos, and if it speaks to you, go for it. For me, I always say be conscious about what really stands behind the tattoo. So if you're thinking about a cultural tattoo, just be aware of what's being represented for it. And, you know, there is a way to do it appropriately. And then there's a way to kind of do it, in my words, as being kind of disrespectful to the culture. So just, I would say, do research and take an opportunity to learn things. And, you know, it's your body. Do what you want, but don't let people tell you no. So don't be worried about these jobs out here, and just really be you, and don't be afraid of being turned down because of it. Just realize they weren't the people for you.
Good. So how can people follow you on social media?
Yes. So on Instagram, it is Tatted Cali Gal. And then on Facebook, it's Anna Haydock. So I do use my last name on Facebook. So H-A-Y-D-O-C-K. I'm more active on my Instagram. You'll see a lot more of the modeling content there. So I would say that would be the one to actively follow me on if you want to see the content. You'll see what I'm doing, see my upcoming projects, see my how I've been investing in myself, some cool things coming in October, and I see some really cool content. So, tatted Cali Gal.
Yeah, and I found an old video when you was in college and you was like talking. I was like, wow, you can talk. This was before you did the interview with the stylist. Is it Jay Valencia?
Oh, yes. Yep, Jay Valencia.
Yeah, before you did the interview with her, I actually saw a video of you. And I was like, wow, she can talk real good. She could do, like, you know, because some people, they scared to talk. And it was like you, it was an old video that your college had posted, which they were doing an interview. And you were talking about, you know, your career or something. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So, yeah, I don't know if you remember that video, but it was when you were a lot younger.
Oh yes, my college video days. Yes, so
yeah.
Definitely had a lot of those going around.
Definitely. So I definitely thank you for doing the magazine. Thank you for submitting early so that I could create a amazing layout for you. And thank you for everything you did. You know, because you know you are the face of Make L Ink magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. You and Kalor, I had the opportunity to work with Kalor and shoot her cover. And like I was telling, I think I told her this, that it was pretty cool to have two different, you know, models with two different styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, her tattoos is more of the black ink. And then her, she don't have like as many tattoos. She has like 14 tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
While most of your body is covered with tattoos and
yeah.
Even colored in. No, she has like probably two color in, but I think that I think this magazine attracted people because of that. Number one, you have natural short hair and it has the orange in it, which matches our logo.
Yes.
And then on her end, she has the dreads, her face hidden. So I think that when people saw that, because, you know, they think about the other tattoo magazines.
Yes.
They all look, the covers all look the same. But your cover, you know, you're a black, well, mixed female, and you have the orange hair, and then you got the orange in your tattoos, and then the logo is orange, and then, like, just like, okay, and then the background is yellow. Wow, okay, that's something I never seen, because you know most of the covers is the other magazines don't have color. It's like always a white cover.
Yep.
The brown is white, and then it's like a Caucasian model.
Yep.
And they all got blonde hair. If it's a female, and some of the guys might be brunette or whatever, but usually blonde females if it is a female.
Yep.
And then to see, you know, two women of color. Like I said, one with dread, and then she's in lingerie. You know, the other magazine, they do have lingerie, but, you know, and then the cool thing about her lingerie is that the lingerie was provided by a small business that makes lingerie, and it's owned by a female of color, Shaped by You Lingerie. So that's the cool thing about her cover. It was giving support to a small business that is black owned, and you know, she had the dreads, and then, like I said, your cover. So it was amazing. I'm glad that you guys came through and provided us with amazing covers. And I could tell that Amazon actually loved both covers. They did something I did not expect them to do. And so I'm just tell people right now, Amazon loved the covers so much that they did a bundle without me asking them. So do not buy the bundle because it's the same magazine. So if you just choose like which cover you want to go with, if you want to go with Anna, or if you want to go with Kalor, because it's the same magazine, and I don't want you buying this magazine two times. Now, if you want to buy the print multiple times, and you would like to collect both covers, that's different. But I just wanted to give y'all a warning, because Amazon, they're a little too happy about the covers, and they did like a bundle. So just explaining that, we're going to work hard to get that removed. And, you know, And then also it's on Kindle. So I want to get that out to people. So if you're an Anna fan and you would like to read it on your Kindle, because I know a lot of people got Kindle devices this Christmas. You know, so you can actually read it on your Kindle device. You probably was like wondering, you know, what I'm going to read? Because, you know, a lot of people may not like some of the books on Amazon. Well, now you can read Mayo Inc. with Anna. You can read that now. So you got a book now. You can do that. Also, the magazine's on Magster. It's on Magforest. So I just want to shout out everyone, let you know. Also, if you miss any part of the show, you can listen to it anytime if you go to our website, mayoinc.com/radio. We also have a social network which you can connect with Anna. It's a nice social network. I actually like it better than the new Facebook, to be real with you. And Anna's actually up there and she's posting stuff up there. So like before we close the show, what do you think about the Mayo Inc. social network?
I think it was pretty thorough. You know, it had ways to contact through the social media. It had me being able to post content, and you know, it's a platform for people, whether you're a model or photographer, everything, to link up, you know, the community and culture that's being presented. And so if you got a specific image in mind, and you know that Mayo Inc. has that, it's a perfect platform.
Yeah, then we have a tattoo shop profile and a tattoo artist profile too. So you can create you a, if you are a person listening, because I know you got a lot of tattoo people following you because of your amazing tattoos. So if you are a person, you're a fan of Anna, you can create a tattoo shop profile or you can create a tattoo artist profile. It's 100% free. So you don't have to worry about that. You just go ahead and create your account. Just go to mayoinc.com/register. You also can register with your Facebook account. So that saves you time. But yeah. All right. So I know we're about to really close this. We've been talking for 60 minutes. But, y'all, because you're fun to talk to. So our last question for you, because you could have thought of something. Do you have any closing words before we really close the show?
You know, the closing words is thank you to Mayo Inc. Like we talked about, the typical tattoo industry platforms, not for people who look and identify like I do. And so to have a magazine actively pursuing that and to actually show that there are other, you know, cultures and demographics out there in the tattoo community, definitely something I appreciate and super humbled to be a part of, especially to be on the cover. So that I don't want you thinking I kind of like look at them like, yeah, that's cool. Like, no, that really speaks to me and is very humbling. And I'm very happy and honored to be a part of that.
All right. Again, thank you for doing the show. And thank you for doing the magazine and creating amazing images. Like I said, you did an awesome job and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
All right. So, until the next time, everyone, you have been listening to the Mayo Inc. podcast, the official podcast of Mayo Inc. magazine. Make sure you check out our website, mayoinc.com. Make sure you follow her on social media at TatticCaliGal. Go ahead, follow her. Show her some love. Like her pictures. She got a lot of great pictures. Man, she's an amazing model. Matter of fact, don't just follow her. Book her. Book her for your next project.
Yes.
So yeah, even if it's like a video, if you're like a company that own a brand and you need a brand ambassador, she's the perfect person. You just heard her talk on this interview. So definitely book her. All right, so until next time, bye.